pleasant good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International for Tuesday, May the 20th, 2025. And this is program number 1374 of the lunchroom. I'm your host, Alex George Jr. In addition to radio 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, and that is rcistlucia.com, rcistlucia.com. You can also get us at our Facebook live feed, and you just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. We are live streaming there, and please be sure to like and share that link with your friends and family. If you'd like to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. Also, the WhatsApp number that you can reach us on, 724-0008. You can message in or you can call in as well on WhatsApp. And again, that number, 724-0008. Now, some birthday greetings for today. First, going out to my sister, Mrs. Zilta George-Leslie. Happy, happy birthday to you. And we're wishing you an absolutely wonderful and enjoyable birthday celebration. And we also want to send out some birthday greetings to Mr. Nintus McGray. Happy, happy birthday to you, sir. And we do hope that you're enjoying your very special day. Of course, I know we're probably preparing for the Calypso season to come. And we do hope that you're having a splendid one. Bit back in time with a bit of history for the day. And we look back to the May the 20th, 1498, when a Portuguese explorer by the name of Vasco da Gama arrived in Calicut in India, becoming the first European to reach India by sea. In 1609, William Shakespeare's sonnets are first published in London, perhaps illicitly by a publisher by the name of Thomas Thorpe. 1862 on this day saw U.S. President Abraham Lincoln signing into law the Homestead Act to provide cheap land for the resettlement of the American West, and that was 80 million acres of land for settlement by the year 1900. 1910 on this day, the funeral of Britain's King Edward VII was held in Westminster Abbey, attended by one of the largest assemblies of European royalty. 1927 on this day, at 7:40 a.m., Charles Lindbergh took off from New York to cross the Atlantic for Paris aboard the Spirit of St. Louis, in the first solo non-stop transatlantic flight. 1927 on this day, the Treaty of Jeddah was signed between the United Kingdom and Ibn Saud, recognizing the independence of the Kingdom of Hejaz and Najd, which was the forerunner of Saudi Arabia. And in 1990, on this day, May the 20th, the Hubble Space Telescope sent its first photographs from space. We now head to our dish of the day. The daily dish is brought to the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Need all kind of tests. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also glad that's why and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down to my nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bossage, Grozzy Lakes, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to our program for today. And we do hope that everybody's having a blessed one. Now, it was announced, in fact, in the Prime Minister's budget for 2025-2026, planned relief on the matter of food prices in particular. Now, of course, we've been seeing a steady rise in the cost of food over a good number of years now since the end of COVID-19, so to speak. And of course, this post-pandemic period led to a sharp rise in global demand. But as well, of course, the world also facing a number of other challenges while all of that is going on. So in addition to that rise in demand and of course, growing population, well over 8 billion people in the world? And then, of course, issues of Ukraine, one of the leading producers of wheat and other agricultural products, including inputs into the agricultural system, such as fertilizer, and other issues, the issues of congestion in the Panama Canal, and we saw what that did in terms of the global logistics supply chain and issues of the Suez Canal and individuals engaged in piracy in that region, the Gulf of Aden, and the Red Sea. And, of course, the matter of climate change, ever-present, and also leading to issues of drought, and not just in the typical places you would think they exist in the Sahel region, very notable areas in Ethiopia where there have been challenges with water supply, but even in areas in Europe where rivers are traditionally used even for the movement of goods by freight along these rivers and canals, have been facing such tremendous pressure due to the matter of this warming world that we are dealing with. And that, all of these various factors combined, have led to some difficult times with respect to the price of food. And even in the United States of America, which is one of the largest producers of food in the world for its own use as well as for export, they've been facing tremendous pressure as well to be able to meet the demand of certain items. For example, the price of eggs has been astoundingly high in the United States due to bird flu as well, and the need for culling of large numbers of the productive poultry sector, the layers that are handling the production of eggs. All of these things have these types of knock-on effects. And so, of course, when you look at a country like ours that is so heavily dependent on the matter of food imports, can well understand the challenges, of course, at the supermarket and even at the market as well. Because even the local sector is also dependent on the cost of inputs like fertilizers, and is also impacted by weather events as well and climate change. So we certainly are living in a fairly turbulent time when it comes to food security. And it certainly is perhaps a wake-up call in that regard. Now, of course, there have been calls for reductions and trying to see what government can do in a situation like this when you actually do have goods coming in. And the cost of the goods coming in are increasing, right? And so even when they landed, they're higher prices. And then, of course, even within this environment, if that was not enough, the additional uncertainty of a potential a trade war which has been induced by the current administration over in the United States. Albeit now we're seeing attempts to roll it back and to keep things more towards the status quo. But sometimes these things have had the effect that it already, and people are adjusting prices accordingly. And sometimes, and that's the thing about inflation, it quite often keeps on going up and it's cumulative. It's very, very difficult to roll back. Very difficult to actually see deflation in many instances. So the attempts now, of course, by the state are pretty limited. Now, even before this, of course, especially in the case of foods, much of the food that is, in fact, imported has been VAT exempt. But there have been other few other areas where you can actually have some perhaps reduction. And one of them has been the matter of the service charge. Of course, there are items, food items, that do in fact have been subject to VAT. And the government is also looking at those matters right about now. It was announced in the budget, as I mentioned, and the Prime Minister, in fact, yesterday at a pre-cabinet press briefing, brought forward, perhaps give a reminder of some of the changes that are expected in terms of trying to reduce the price of items on the shelves, and of course in the supermarkets. Let's take a listen to Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, the Honorable Philip J. Pierre, speaking yesterday at that pre-cabinet press briefing.
From the 1st of June, the 6.5% service charge on controlled items will be removed. It will not be charged. So this means that the cost of these controlled items should decrease by 6.5% if there is no increase in costs from the imported country. Here are a list of goods that are price controlled and which the price ought to go down by 6.5%. Baby foods, baby fruit juices, cement, cereals, cornflakes, cornmeal, oats, cheese, cheddar cut and wrapped, powdered chocolate, cocoa, corned beef, wheat flour, garlic, margarine, mackerel, milk, evaporated, edible oil, onions, peas and beans, potatoes. Powdered soap, 400 grams or less, is decontrolled. Rice package, salt biscuits, sardines, etc. Tuna, toilet soap, toothpaste, all the agricultural products that are price controlled. I want to be clear, those that are price controlled. The 6.5% service charge will be removed. Further, by the 1st of July, the VAT will be removed from several categories of products. We are discussing right now with the Chamber of Commerce, and the 12.5% VAT on several categories of products, mainly foodstuffs, will be removed, which would lead again to an immediate reduction in the cost, in the price to the consumer, once the cost has not increased from overseas. We have been getting excellent cooperation from the Chamber of Commerce. I want to thank them for their understanding. I want to also compliment the Minister of Commerce and the people in the Ministry of Commerce for their work. We are moving to cause the cost of living, what we have control over. It's very important that I make that point. What we have control over, we do not control the cost of these goods. What we have control over, we are moving to see if we can ease the cost for the consumer in this country.
And that was the Prime Minister of St. Lucia, the Honorable Philip J. Pierre, speaking yesterday at a press conference, Monday morning press conference held as a precursor to cabinet meetings. And now, as I mentioned, of course, that had been already announced in the budget 2025-2026, and the Prime Minister giving some details there in terms of the dates of the rollouts, a two-phase approach. In the first instance, tackling price control goods. And those goods would already have restrictions on them, which in fact sort of limit the extent to which those items can be priced. So what would normally happen is that in the case of, say, an item that's mentioned like cheese, a supplier or a retailer will only be able to have a fixed markup within which they can actually sell that product. So if it is coming in, for argument's sake, for at $100 per unit, the tendency is that beyond the, let's say, inclusive of taxes and all freight and everything, they can only mark it up by, say, 30% or 15%. So it could only be, let's say, 130 or 115, whatever, depending on whatever the rate, that rate is. Now, of course, there has to be some leverage or some space within which the supplier or the retailer can, in fact, make a profit. Because otherwise, if not, the individual perhaps just not bring in those items at all. And so, of course, that's why you've got what would normally be deemed a reasonable markup allowable for a retailer. But in addition to that, the government is now saying they are, in fact, going to take out the service charge, which is something that is charged on nearly every product coming into the country. And so even in this instance, the service charges on these items are now also going to be removed on imports. Now, that would, of course, largely be the items related to food in a basket of goods, but it also includes other items that are price controlled, including cement. Now, of course, you'd recall that there is an ongoing VAT reduction or VAT exemption, if you like, on certain construction materials, including cement. And so then here as well, a benefit to the construction sector at this time, especially in terms of the price of cement, but also to the agricultural sector, because there are a number of other items within that which are in fact price controlled, which are inputs into the agricultural sector. So it's also good news for farmers in this regard, because they too will also be getting, would hopefully be able to see some kind of hopeful reduction in the price of some of these items. Now, of course, like the Prime Minister said, this is all, the reduction is, yes, being provided by the government, but let's hope that, of course, that in addition to it, now, of course, it would have to be passed on, but in addition to this, let's hope that the prices on the import side coming in are, in fact, not going to be seeing additional increases as well. So, of course, so that people can actually benefit from some of these reductions which are being proposed. Of course, this was one of the many measures that the Prime Minister announced in this year's budget statement. He also made mention of a number of allowances. Some of them have become very topical. One, for example, effective September this year, the Ministry of Education will be given an allowance of $250,000 for the purchase of feminine hygiene products for secondary schools to reduce the incidence of period poverty. And it seemed not to have found resonance with the likes of the deputy leader of the United Workers' Party, Mr. Guy Joseph, who seemed not to be so au courant with the whole concept of period poverty and decided to take aim at this initiative. Of course, quite a lot of backlash and condemnation meted out to him by a number of individuals, females who are very much sensitive to this issue and how, in fact, this issue of period poverty can impact on how young girls are sometimes sometimes stay away from school and stay away from opportunities for learning because of this sort of situation. And then there was much ado about nothing in the suggestions that no country around the world has ever done this. Not even Haiti had ever done this. These were the words of a rather uninformed Mr. Guy Joseph. And even individuals within his very own party had to come out and distance themselves from these types of notions which he was espousing. And so I think thankfully, in fact, what ended up happening was that he then sort of went full circle and almost was then suggesting that, you know, it's not enough is being done for the matter. And then was speaking about the issue of poverty on a whole. Now, of course, this action here in terms of this subvention or allowance for the Ministry of Education is not of its own. It's not on its own. There are so many other initiatives that certainly we have seen geared towards ensuring or providing individuals greater access to education within the system. And of course, one of them that the Prime Minister mentioned previously was that math and English CXE would be paid for students sitting those subjects. And of course, right now we know that there are almost 2,000 students sitting the CXE, CSEC, right about now. In addition to those two subjects, which are of course compulsory, this new academic year, government agreeing to expand that to an additional two subjects being paid. And of course, the caveat being one has to be a science or a foreign language. So at least one of them needs to be a science or a foreign language. Of course, it could be two sciences, it could be two foreign languages, but at least one needs to be one of those. So, of course, that is pretty good news. Most students sit about seven CXEs, so certainly more than half of that CXE fee now being covered by the government. It's, of course, some instances some students will sit more, but certainly would be a good help in this regard. And, of course, that is coming against a number of other initiatives previously. The One Laptop Per Child program, of course, which has been ongoing to ensure that each child has been afforded a laptop within a secondary school, and issues such as the facilities fees, which has been very controversial in the past sometimes. In some instances, schools would have, in fact, withheld the grades of students if they didn't pay their facilities fees, and the government coming in and providing the support to schools by, in fact, paying for these facilities fees, which were generally geared towards providing additional services, like whether printing of exams and other, you know, sports meets and those types of things. Quite a lot of those were the reasons why facilities fees would be collected in that first instance. The government also introducing a 10-year passport, and that had been, again, one of the areas where, no doubt, I suspect, there's been some clamoring for some time regarding the matter of the passport. I mean, we've seen, of course, in the past, issues in terms of the pace at which passports would be issued, and that has been a very topical thing, the level of service within the passport office. And we've seen some improvements in that regard, certainly. It's improved appreciably. But in addition to this, of course, the fact that you don't want to have to necessarily go every 5 years to get a new passport is also being addressed. And so that would be very beneficial, no doubt, to citizens who want to be able to access a passport for a longer period of time. I heard Mr. Joseph talking about visa poverty. Not too sure what how that necessarily holds, but we are seeing, of course, in terms of passports, you can certainly have a passport for the full length of time, or almost that you actually perhaps will get a visa for. So that initiative also was announced in the 2025-2026 budget address. The matter of nurses, and in fact, just last week, the St. Lucia Nurses Association was marking Nurses Week, and they in fact had a series of events, including a church service, a mass held over the weekend at the Good Shepherd Babineau Church. And there were two initiatives in the Prime Minister's budget geared towards the matter of support for nurses as well as persons interested in getting into the profession. And he said that nurses who have completed their training and upon satisfactory completion of 2 years of employment will be entitled to permanent employment, provided that they have been approved by the relevant authority. And the other matter being that government will invest in nurses attending the South Lewis Community College to assist with the supply of nurses for the academic year commencing September of 2025, a first-year nursing students to receive $2,500 tuition support, b, second-year nursing students to receive $2,500 tuition support, c, third-year students to receive $5,000 in tuition support, and final-year students, nursing students to receive $10,000 tuition support, and in effect, full tuition payment for students, nursing students at the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College. So it's a good time to be a nurse and to be thinking about getting into the nursing profession. And certainly we do need all the nurses we can train. We have seen over the years, it's a very well-established challenge that many countries have been facing in the Caribbean, and that is the very high attrition rate due to nurses seeking better opportunities, better remuneration in other countries, in North America, in the United Kingdom, supporting their universal healthcare systems, but unfortunately ours quite often suffering from inadequate nursing support. So that measure being put forward in that regard. Now, of course, there are a number of other initiatives that were mentioned in the budget, but those were just a few that we should have, of course, just wanted to highlight within the context of the announcement by the Prime Minister of that two-part action by the government to be able to look at reduction of prices, especially that of food prices in stores and supermarkets. That's our dish of the day. When we come back, we'll take in our weather report.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Need all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also glad gas, and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down to my nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosseju Groselets, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Island style, yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island style, whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island style, oh yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island style.
We have tiles and tin sets, pieces and ground. Peace out the house out for the best price and the latest style. Take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And that's all, of course, on the 1.1. It's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours. Winds will be blowing from between the east and east-southeast near 18 miles per hour or 30 kilometers per hour. The weather partly cloudy to occasionally cloudy skies with a few scattered showers. And there is an advisory in here which reads small craft operators and sea beavers are advised to exercise caution due to above normal seas. The forecast for the Lesser Antilles is partly cloudy to cloudy at times with some scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms. The weather summary, moist and unstable conditions in the atmosphere over the region will continue to cause cloudiness, scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms over the Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. A tropical wave over the eastern tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 12 miles per hour or 19 kilometers per hour. And this was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Style. Yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island Style.
Spaces and ground, everything you need to start the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Quality, yeah. Price, service, choice. It's all at Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to our program for today. And of course, we've got about 25 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. The number to call in is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046. And you can also message in at our WhatsApp number. That is 724-0008. Now, yesterday started the conversation regarding the Hewanora International Airport, mentioning that it has seemingly become another talking point by the opposition United Workers Party. And I noticed a few posts that were out there on it. But just before we get into that conversation, let's take in a call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom.
Hi, good afternoon. Is this sickness this week or but it's last week?
I believe it might be this week, actually.
Oh,
yes.
Yes, because I listened to the service. I was wondering if it was last week, it was the end, or it was the beginning. So if it's this week, I would like to be all the nurses my very best. I have, you know, people, friends at the nursing foundation last week. A nurse sent me free tacos of one of my favorite nuts.
Sorry, what?
I say I have nurses as a friend because my mom used to work there as a ward lead at the hospital. So I've gotten lots and lots of nurses, and some of them are very nice. I would like to wish them all the best. I listen to the service. I wanted to say something about it, about the service on Sunday, but about Father Albert. But since we may have to go to service there on Sunday.
Oh, I may have to go? Why is that?
Since we may have to go to service, I'll ruin my tongue.
Okay. I'm seeing that it's... I'm not sure if this applies here, but I'm seeing that Nurses Week is actually from the 6th to the 12th of May. So it probably...
Because I've been the end of the...
So, but the Nurses Month is all of May, so...
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. So that's perhaps that's why the event, the church service was over...
And it's also the Blind Welfare Awareness Month.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah, there is a theme, but I cannot remember the theme. We have a whole lot of things on And we have, I think on the 29th, there will be a walk, but it's just government officials.
Mm-hmm.
A short walk from the Serenity Park, I think, to the center, but they will be blindfolded.
Okay.
Every government minister and officials, so that is to have an idea of what it feels like, you know.
So what's the route, you say?
I think from, like, the Prime Minister's office there.
Okay.
To the multipurpose center. The court. Yeah, the sports complex there.
Ah, okay, the VG Sports Complex. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I think they want to do a little demonstration of blind cricket. We also do tennis, because we do dominoes, we do tennis. Then we have a big table tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, we explain it and show it. We don't hit the ball above, we do it at the bottom, we knock the thing, and it's easy. Because I have played the tennis, and I think I win a match when I do.
Okay.
Yes, and all of these things. And we have special programs. I say one of these days they must get, there's a special treatment. It's a massage treatment, but it's done by the Japanese. Because they have two tutors that are at Blind Wesley. They come to teach on this. The program goes for almost 4 years. They do the first year, second year, third year, until they're certified. But it's not what I would call the normal massage, because it's really like a health treatment, like for your feet, your back, everywhere. And I say, one of these is if one of the Japanese can come with one of the people at the field, you know, to explain that kind of treatment.
Mm.
Because it really needs to be provided. Because they, nowhere in San Lucia have that treatment been given. And it's at a course, eh? But I'm hoping that some other people can actually come and explain it in full.
So now,
understand. Yes.
So now, Carla, have you visited the aquaponics facility in Viewfort that is being run in conjunction with the National Council for Persons with Disabilities?
I have not
visited
it yet, but I know one of the guys that doing, I think one does lettuce.
Yes, yes.
Yes, he's the one to say, but he's totally blind.
And
that's
correct.
I mean, yes. That's Tixie.
Yes, that is correct.
I know of all of his, and when I eat his lettuce, I try my best to buy it at the supermarket.
Okay.
Yes, always. Yeah. He's a very nice guy. His son that got, the 15-year-old that got killed.
Yes, I recall.
So they have a whole lot of things on the agenda. So I hope maybe that you might be one of those from the officials that will take that walk.
What date is that?
It's on the 29th.
On the 29th?
Yes,
okay.
Because I think most, they spoke to the prime ministers, what's his name, the disability one, and all of them.
Mr. Norbert.
Most of them.
Yes.
I think even the prime minister might do this. We want to get all of them acquainted what it used to feel like. So, and there's a whole lot of things. It's just the promotion has to be taken.
Sounds like lots of fun.
All right. Yeah. Well, they introduced me to the table tennis. And I did like it. It was nice. The table is big and large, and then, you know, once you get a hang of it, it's quick. But they're not allowing anybody that is not blind to play tennis.
Okay.
Because it's meant for people that are blind or have their visibility is not that good. That's what you think. But yes, if somebody that is sighted, tennis was my own mental, very make a mess with us too.
Yes,
I listened to what you said about Mr. Guy Joseph. He was trying to explain what visa poverty was. It's what he was. He said that some grandma went with her child to get a visa, and then they turned down the child, and they took the grandmother's visa back. So that's what he is saying, that is visa poverty, and that is due to CIP.
Well, I don't know how that... could be tied together. I mean, I would very highly doubt that the U.S. authorities have said that I am not granting you a visa because of CIP. So I don't know how that he has, you know, reached that far with his assertions. Now, if he suggested that there is a low acceptance rate now for St. Lucians, I don't know that not necessarily. Is correct. I mean, there's always been an acceptance rate issue that people have experienced. And it varies from country to country. And the United States has, unfortunately, has a system in place where it deems, you know, the risk. It'll analyze risk and, you know, what are the chances of this person potentially not returning to their country of origin or trying to become a flight risk. And on a lot of those bases, you would or would not be granted a visa. That's their prerogative, right? But, I mean, I it would be good for him to come with some kind of real evidence to show how, in fact, has our visa acceptance rate dropped significantly. You know, I don't get it. I really don't get that.
I think up to Sunday night, I was just sitting and I happened to go, what's his name? Martinez was on speaking with Lisa Sunday night on a program they have. And he's still on that thing. Said he spoke to Mr. Trudeau as the Prime Minister of St. Kitts and all sorts of things. But right now, he's been a good boy by staying because they tell him to let it stay because let the federal government do the office. So that's why he's staying quiet and he's been a good boy. Just listen to Mr. Martinez.
Mr. Martinez is saying that he is being a good boy?
Yeah, he's been a good boy because as before, he was trying to get that through. But what like they're telling him is that leave it to the federal government and they will take charge of that because like all these things are under investigation. And you know, he's going on and on with some kind of crap. But he said that Prime Minister Drew, but he's linking it to Prime Minister Drew and the St. Kitts government and St. Lucia. So he's just waiting, like patiently waiting for, you know, that the federal government to really do the work and come and do what they have to do with those countries that... I just listened to that gentleman, and just the fact that he said why he's not saying nothing is because he's just been a good boy and waiting for things to fall in place. I just said the channel.
Okay, we'll have to see, caller. I mean, like I said, remember, some people have tried to win campaigns, election campaigns, on the basis that they will make visa-free access to the United States available. Anything is possible. In the political space, so I guess we'll have to just wait and see what all the promises will be like in that regard.
I just find sometimes right? Even sometimes even what is that guy named E.T. E.T. calls sometimes, and E.T. just makes some kind of statements, outlandish statements, and he just does it and he just throws it out there, without and when you try to talk to him or to explain to him that what is where is his facts.
Remember, there were four promises that I mean that we can think back to, right? Made by Mr. Alan Chastney in the past. One was a matter of visas. He tried to, you know, people tried all kind of things to say, well, he didn't really mean it. But when you say something like that, right? Yeah. I mean, it's clear that you are trying to give an impression that St. Lucians will no longer need visas, right? That's one. Then let's remember bananas to France. Remember that? On the eve of a general election, came out and he said that we're going to have bananas to sold to France and the price is going to be better. And nothing came out of that. Absolutely nothing came out of that one as well.
Yes.
Then remember, he also said he's going to reduce crime, right?
Yes.
Remember that statement? Kenny can't, but he will. That was another very, very bold statement. He also said, and a lot of people don't remember that one, but it was a statement that he made at the an economic forum that they held at his father's premises. I can't remember exactly what it's called. Behind the Rodney Coco. Yeah, but it's a name that they use. Yeah, but whatever it is, it's a conference facility. In his building there. And he, at that statement, said that he was going to eliminate the foreign ministry, that there would be no more, there'd be no more missions, there'd be no more embassies, right?
Yes.
We would not need any embassies.
Those things are recorded there, you know.
Yeah, I'm certain if people go and look enough that you can actually find that, because that was one of the things he said as to how he was going to reduce the cost of government, right? That was that, I think, as well as the matter of rentals, I think. Of course, we saw what happened to the rentals. It went in the exact opposite direction. And, of course, the other thing I remember he said, that he was going to eliminate VAT.
Yeah.
Right? Eliminate VAT.
It said eventually, it would take it out completely.
And then it was shifted right, remember? So then he said the eventual elimination of VAT. Of course, that never happened either. But yeah, I mean, we've seen that Mr. Shastny has very little issue with making very astounding and perhaps unrealistic promises, and quite often things that he has really no control over to begin with, right? The visa matter, the crime matter, you know.
Yes. That's why I need to ask that place they had in V4 for the horse riding.
The DSH racetrack.
Why is it not possible that the guys that are doing horse racing in vehicle, why can't they use that place? Because they're trying to find it. Right now, they cannot find any more races.
Because, the reality is the government has they signed on to a contractual agreement regarding that racetrack.
Okay.
And I don't believe that there's any such arrangement within the agreement,
that
if in the event that it no longer is operating, then the government can
take it over
or that the government has certain rights over its use, right? Never mind, of course, the government was the one that even sponsored the first race, right? The inaugural race.
Government money was paid for that horse racing track. That's the thing.
The government money went into the road, the bypass road.
Yes.
That was built to facilitate the racetrack, $15 million almost. And the government also pretty much, you know, handed over the land, remember, at $1 an acre for 99 years.
Yes.
So in those instances, really, we can all see that really and truly there was a great level of government subsidy
spending
to facilitate this facility. And unfortunately, it's pretty much almost abandoned at the moment.
Because I think it's a perfect place for those guys that are, because usually around February, certain times of the year, they have this race. And you tell me you did not put a clause in place to say, okay, look, at certain times, my people want to do the horse racing, that at certain time you allow them to use that track, but nothing like that. And this guy's just looking for nowhere for them to do. And it's not now those guys that you have something, they never put something in place to assist them.
And it's unfortunate even further than that, caller, because we also recall, and this is the irony of these types of situations, you know, it was a UWP government. Mr. Ezekiel Joseph was the Minister for Agriculture who went ahead with a meat processing facility at a cost of over $20 million.
Yeah.
Over $20 million spent on it. State-of-the-art in equipment being brought in, right, to facilitate our food security and all of that, you know, abandoned and put on pause, right?
Come on.
And then you know what the result of when these things happen. It's the same thing with St. Jude Hospital.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see Mr. Reno Kajada's interview with Dale Elliott.
Yes, and
the issue was that the facility was abandoned to the extent that there was almost there was no maintenance of everything. The equipment was effectively had to be thrown away. We don't even know what happened to some of the equipment, especially like the laundry equipment and the kitchen equipment. Who got it? Who was it sold to? You know, we saw Mr. Joseph going around trying to get paint and from this person and flooring. And we have no idea where a lot of that the materials have gone to, right? But we saw all of that happening publicly, right? The public embarrassment of police being brought onto people's premises.
If that was seen publicly, then why is it that we have a special prosecutor who still has not been able to come up with anything.
Good question, caller. Very good question. And I think
because this was public.
Mm-hmm.
So why you have a special prosecutor there and nothing is coming on stream with this public prosecutor?
There is certainly a lot to be that needs to be answered with respect to St. Jude Hospital.
Yeah.
Right? And how those matters were dealt with. And so you left those buildings almost to decay for years past. And then a lot of the stuff, you know, you would have thought that, okay, there was an opportunity to get it going much quicker. In a lot of the instances, the contractor now had to find new solutions and new equipment because a lot of what had been brought in had effectively was no longer useful. And in the case of the meat processing facility, here's another unfortunate travesty with respect to state resources. And these were resources coming from the Taiwanese people, government and people of Taiwan.
No respect for the Taiwanese, you know, that was lack of respect for their money that went into doing, and then you all just disregard it without not even a thought to, you have a foreign government right here willing to give, and yet you showed no respect to them and the money they provided to open to do that thing. Come on, that was, and now I'm seeing them complaining about the airport. Friday, the Prime Minister was on a radio station, and this guy calling him to concern the airport. And the Prime Minister is trying to explain to him everything, but he doesn't want to listen. He's just arguing as if it was they abandoned the works. And all hard the Prime Minister is trying to explain. Oh, my, he wasn't giving the man a chance.
Paula, the abandoning of the project started in 2016, right?
Yeah.
There was a full master plan prepared. Full legislation went through.
PPP
process was being handled through an independent third party, right? The International Finance Corporation. The IFC was not the one building or getting into the PPP, you know. They were a third party just to ensure that there was transparency and accountability in the process, right? Because as an arm of the World Bank, and you say, no, we don't want that. No.
Yeah.
Right? And then we throw that opportunity out. And you know another mistake that Mr. Shastny has done it before? He keeps on trying to compare the cost of the capital works, right, for a project with the entire life cycle cost of building as well as operating a facility. Now, when you're comparing, you have to compare apples with apples. You cannot look at say...
Isn't he supposed to be an economist?
Well, it doesn't matter what he says he's supposed to be. But the point is, if you're looking at doing a comparison of this matter, you have to be looking at the whole lifetime cost.
Yeah.
So you cannot just be saying, well, we can build it at X million dollars, and so therefore everything else that we get is a benefit to the state. That's not true. Right, because you now have to maintain, you now have to operate the facility, and so when you look at a PPP is not just the capital injection, which is necessary, but is also the cost of the operations for the lifetime of the project, as well as the additional improvements that have to be made over time for that project. So, but here in his thinking, you just come and you build a massive facility in day one, right? And whether or not you have the throughput, the numbers to do it, to be able to make it make sense in terms of the cost, you know, for a lot of the time, it's going to end up being a white elephant. He was building a facility that was, you know, the current facility of the airport terminal we have right now is 125,000 square feet, right?
Yeah.
The recommended size of the terminal to bring us up to about, I think, 2040 or thereabouts, 2040, 2045, was 280,000 square feet. We were building a facility that was going to be 385,000, nearly 400,000 square feet, right? So you're going to have a far larger facility than was actually required, you know, even up to the year 2046, right? So you don't, you know, just do things on the basis of glitz and grammar and, well, that would look nice. But is it practical? Is it efficient? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? Those are the considerations that you have to have when you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with an airport.
But one, the thing that they had a show, you know, of this airport, something grand and beautiful. So that was shown like almost every on NTN. So people are looking at that and saying, wow, all you can say is wow, because you were in awe, just those that can see with in awe. But then one of the statements the guy made on Friday is that it is shameful that in this day and age in St. Lucia that we have somebody going, entering a plane or coming out of a plane, and if rain is falling, they're getting wet.
It happens at Grantley Adams International Airport.
Yes.
It happens at so many airports in the Caribbean.
Yes.
That you don't have, and you don't need necessarily have to have jet bridges, you know, to be able to, I mean, you can get the stairs that actually have, you can get ramps. There are also ramps that are used in some instances. Yes. And those ramps actually have coverings so that you can actually go down on.
Yes.
Right? And then, of course, if you... And it's still going to be necessary to get shuttle buses. I mean, what happens with Grantley Adams is that you use... Because it's you got so... The parking apron is so extensive, you may end up...
The first time I went to Puerto Rico to take us from the... plane to go see into the thing is a shuttle that had to come and pick us and drive us.
And that happens at airports all around the world. Even those that have jet bridges, you may not always have all the contact gates available. Yeah. So you will in many instances find that you need to have these additional non-contact gates, and to service those gates, you have to have these shuttle buses to be able to move people to and fro. So again, you know, we're hearing a lot of stuff that is, I think, a little unfortunate. That, you know, I witnessed recently, there was a video, I think, circulating of, I think there was a little leak in near the one of the counters at the airport with all the rain that was going on, and they were making it seem, because of this leak, you can see now this is exactly the problem, and you know, we should, if we had the airport already, this would not be an issue. And then recently, just last week, I saw the same, because of course there's a weather system affecting a lot of the islands. And at the Bradshaw Airport in St. Kitts, which is a pretty modern airport, and a massive leaks in the airport, right? More modern than ours, but massive amount of leaks impacting that airport right about now. But, Barbados, but, Grantley Adams, you have that too?
No, but even in the U.S., I listen to the news every night, and right now they're telling you that there are like so many problems with air traffic control, and they were saying most of the equipment are, you know, they should not even be there anymore.
Yeah.
If you had the complaints about equipment, it's a lot, so they said you need to really, really use some more technology, and people are complaining, they say that is why so many accidents and so all of these things that they cannot do any better. They that the workers unless government put, you know. But when you're going to make it look as if St. Lucia is the only place that you're coming out of a plane and getting wet or going, you know, come on, why do you have to make such a fuss about something like that?
And I don't think anybody is saying that we don't want to see a better facility. You know, I think everybody's on board with that. But at what cost and at what expense, right? And to who are we really doing some of these projects for? That's the other big question. Are we doing it for the benefit of the state, really?
Yeah.
Or is it, unfortunately, sometimes other agendas at play in terms of some of these projects? So, caller, we're going to have to...
Before I go, I would like to wish Maureen a very, very happy birthday.
Ah, yes, my goodness.
And wish her all the best for the day.
Thank you.
I heard it's Red's birthday also.
Oh, is it Red's birthday?
Yes.
Oh boy.
It's Maureen's birthday. It's Nintas' birthday.
Nintas' birthday. Yes.
Speak your mind, people, birthday that.
Very much so, caller. You've said it very well. You've said it very, very well. Thanks for those reminders on that one, too. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And it certainly slipped my mind. Should not have. But certainly want to extend our best wishes to Maureen Alexander, of course, who's coming up very soon to handle this afternoon's shift. Happy, happy birthday to her. And of course to Dr. Reds Pereira as well. I don't know, can we squeeze in one call quickly? No, it's a little too late, unfortunately. We're going to have to handle that tomorrow. Hope you can join us for that. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.